जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन जमुना तीर वनचारी जमुना तीरवनचारी जमुना तीरवनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जयो गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन जमुना तीरवनचारी जमुना तीरवनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
परमंस परिभाषकाचार्य अष्टोत अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। ఇస్కాన్ విభిడి సంస్థాపక ఆచార్య శిల ప్రభుపాద కి జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతజితివాయింద్రే శ్రీమద్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి గోస్వామి మహారాజ శిల ప్రభుపాద కి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృంద కి నామాచార్య శిల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ జగో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద కి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపినాథ్ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధన్ కి బ్రజభూమి వృందావన్ ధామ్ కి శ్రీ మథురా ధామ్ కి శ్రీ నవదీప్ మాయాపూర్ ధామ్ కి పురుషోత్తమ జిత జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి గంగా మయ్యా కి జమునా మయ్యా కి భక్తి దేవి కి శ్రీమతి తులసీ మహారాణి కి కలిపవన్ హరినామ సంకీర్తన్ కి హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్ర కి నందరాజన భాగవత్ మహాపురాణ కి తాయి గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్ నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ. హరి కృష్ణ, ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ అవర్ సండే భాగవత్ డిస్కషన్. టుడే వి ఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 9, చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ద పాసింగ్ అవే ఆఫ్ భీష్మదేవ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రజెన్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ. టెక్స్ట్ 1. సూత ఉవాచ ఇతి భీతః ప్రజాద్రోహాత్ సర్వ ధర్మ వివిత్సయా తతో వినశనం ప్రాగాద్ యత్ర దేవరతో అపతత్. సూత ఉవాచ ఇతి భీత ప్రజాద్రోహాత్ సర్వధర్మ వివిత్సయా తతో వినశనం ప్రాగాత్ యత్ర దేవవ్రతో పతత్. సూత ఉవాచ ఇతి భీత ప్రజాద్రోహాత్ సర్వధర్మ వివిత్సయా తతో వినశనం ప్రాగాద్ యత్ర దేవవ్రతో పతత్. సూత ఉవాచ ఇతి భీత ప్రజాద్రోహాత్ సర్వధర్మ వివిత్సయా తతో వినశనం ప్రాగాద్ యత్ర దేవవ్రతో పతత్. సుత ఉవాచ ఇతి భీత ప్రజాద్రోహాత్ స్వధర్మ వివిత్సయా తో వినశనం ప్రాగాత్ యత్ర దేవవ్రతో పతత్. సుత ఉవాచ इति भीता प्रजा द्रोहात् सर्वधर्म विविधया तत्र देवो व्रतो व्रतात् सुत उवाच इति भीता प्रजा द्रोहात् सर्वधर्म विविधया ततो विनशनं प्रागात् यत्र देवो व्रतो व्रतात् सुत उवाच इति भीता प्रजा द्रोहात् सर्वधर्म विविधया ततो विनशनं प्रागात् यत्र देवव्रतो व्रतात्. लेडीज सुत उवाच इति भीता प्रजा द्रोहात् सर्वधर्म विविधया ततो विनशनं प्रागाद् यत्र देवव्रतो पतत् सुत उवाच इति भीता प्रजा द्रोहात् सर्वधर्म विविधया ततो विनशनं प्रागात् यत्र देवव्रतो पतत्. The word for word meaning of this verse is as follows. Suta uvacha. Shri Suta Goswami said, iti, thus, bhita, being afraid of, praja drohat, because of killing the subjects, sarva, all, dharma, acts of religion, vivitsaya, for understanding, tataha, thereafter, vinashanam, the place where the fight was held, pragat, he went, yatra, where, deva vrataha, Bhishmadev, apatat, lay down for passing away. Translation. Suta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthira went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishmadev was lying on a bed of arrows, about to pass away. In this ninth chapter, as it is willed by Lord Sri Krishna, Bhishmadev will impart instructions to King Yudhishthira on the subject of occupational duties. Bhishmadev will also offer his last prayer to the Lord on the verge of passing away from this mortal world and thus become liberated from the bondage of further material engagements. Bhishmadev was endowed with the power of leaving his material body at will, and his lying down on the bed of arrows was his own choice. This passing away of the great warrior attracted the attention of all the contemporary elites, and all of them assembled there to show their feelings of love, respect, and affection for the great soul.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Suta Vacha. Suta Goswami is continuing the narration. Iti generally means after describing something, now how the story goes forward. So iti bhita praja drohat. What a personality Yudhishthira Maharaj is. After the war is over, he is simply lost in lamentation. I am the cause. Just to put me on the throne, so many thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people lost their lives. Interestingly, the Bhagavatam gives a number, 64 crores, and that is 640 million people. Obviously, modern archaeologists don't agree with that. As part of some kind of a project, I had invited a PhD scholar. He is doing his PhD, very sympathetic, nice person. So I asked him, have we done any kind of archaeological survey in the Kurukshetra area? And he said, oh yes, it is done by one 99-year-old archaeologist. Of course, he didn't do it now. He was in his 50s or 60s. So that means in the late 60s or early 70s, previous century, 1970 probably. I asked whether it was sponsored by the government. He said partly his own interest, part government funding. So I asked, what was he looking for? This man is like the name in Indian archaeology scene. He said, we are trained to look for tools, weapons, parts, pottery shards, cloth. Cloth will not remain for long. You put a cloth in your garden and in next 6 months, 8 months, it is gone. So, the Indian mind today is kind of divided whether to call Mahabharata history. Well, can't be called history. But the places are all there. Indraprastha is there. Hastinapur is there. Kurukshetra is there. Everything is there. So, were the names given by some later people who thought that, oh, we have to defend Vyasadeva and we have to give some name somewhere. So basically what this archaeologist is telling that after, and they do a lot of hard work by the way. I asked him, how do you know, I mean, how do you proceed if you feel a particular field has, maybe something is below there. I said, do you put a dynamite stick and blast it? He said, no, that will defeat the purpose. If there is a bone of some dinosaur 20 feet below the ground, you can't bring it by putting a bomb there, is it? So I said, then how do you do that? She said, sometimes with a brush. I said, really? He said, yeah. Take a small sharp object and do some little tuk 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 and then try to find out. I said, my goodness. I was thinking that, you see in movies, the very first strike they give, they do and they get something. He said, in Kurukshetra area, they went 15 feet like this, 2 inches in a week like that. Slowly, 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 slowly. And he said, there's nothing here. Couldn't find anything. So then, I said, then what happened? Then they did some survey of the soil. And another disappointing thing came that in Indian subcontinent, many places, the soil is very acidic. So I said, what do you mean by acidic? Well, within centuries, it eats away everything. Metal, iron, tools. So please try to understand from the 21st century point of view today, if you go to a place and you want some piece of the chariot which Arjuna was on or some astra which he was trying to find, how are you going to find it? But every now and then in your WhatsApp or videos you find, hey, somebody found the bridge to Lanka. Have you seen that? And that too, NASA found it for us. How come they are so benevolent to us? From a remote sensing satellite, you might find a river bed. That, oh, this looks like a river bed. There is no river now. But then the Ramayana says that Lord Ram touched the Setu with his arrow and he made it vanish. He made it disappear. So today's skeptic youth or old whatever say, ha ha, that's a very nice thing. One huge bridge was built and millions of monkeys went over that. And when the job was done, then you touched with a bow, touched with an arrow and this is vanished. Very nice. So no evidence kept. How are you supposed to believe it? How are you supposed to believe it? Are we all educated fools, sentimentalists? Oh, I like Ram. Oh, I like Krishna. So let us preserve them. Srila Prabhupada gives one solid point. Only one. In my life, I just try to cling to that. Having that faith is not so easy. Losing faith is easy. It's just like in a pandemic era, keeping yourself immune is very difficult. But catching corona is very easy, right? That's how we can understand. So Prabhupada says, what business Vyasdev has in writing some mythology. Only one point. Why should he write mythology? Does he want a grant as a professor somewhere? He wants to build his own house? He wants to make his career? Why? There are plenty of mythologists today who keep 5 books and produce a 6th one. Was Vyasdev that kind of a research scholar? So why? What is this motivation? Try to find out that first. Otherwise, if you go through the route of this archaeological survey or whatever, you may find something and that may bewilder you. Or you may not find something and that may disappoint you. Only 2 things happen. So, here we have Yudhishthir Maharaj lamenting like anything. Hey, why is this sound coming? Gaur Krishna Maharaj, disciple of His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj, who passed away. Gaur Krishna Maharaj just had a sannyas for 1 year. In Gaur Purnima time, he took sannyas, and in Kartik, he passed. So he has given a very nice series on Srimad Bhagavatam. So the point he raised in this particular episode is, Yudhishthir is lamenting, but Arjuna was bewildered. Moha means not being able to decide, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it and gain some, there will be some gain? But if I don't do it, that will be giving some more gain. I am just confused. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by speaking the Bhagavad Gita, took away Arjuna's moha squeaky clean completely. Like you do in your computer, controlled, alt, delete, disk formatted. Isn't it? No more trace of any bewilderment. I know who you are, I know who I am, this is my duty, I'm going to do it. And 700 verses were utilized for that. That same Supreme Lord, why he cannot take away Yudhishthir Maharaj's lamentation? Shoka is lamentation. Moha is bewilderment. And you will find they come together. And they give rise to a third one, that is bhaya. Shoka moha bhaya. Shoka moha bhaya. So yesterday I was talking with a friend, and this is a very nice thing Prabhupada mentions here, that by the will of Krishna, by the will of the Lord, Yudhishthir Maharaj was not able to understand. Let us ponder over this point. The Supreme Lord is giving Yudhishthir Maharaj instruction, and he is Dharmaraj, he is intelligent, he can understand. And the same Supreme Lord, as a super soul in his heart, is blocking his senses. So the more Yudhishthir Maharaj is told, no, you are good. People didn't die just because to keep you on the throne. The kind of horrible things he mentions in the previous chapter here, that narake niyatam vaso, you know, I have killed many friends of women, I have caused enmity to such an extent it is not possible to undo it by any kind of material welfare work.
It keeps on and on and on and on. And the person who reads Bhagavatam says, why can't he understand? Krishna is assuring him, Nahi Baba, no problem. I assure you, you are not a sinner. You won't go to hell. It's like parents, you try to pacify your kids. The more you pacify, the louder they start bawling, isn't it? Something like that was happening. So this friend is telling me that, hey, why Krishna is this kind of a manipulator? Is Krishna interfering? Here is somebody who wants to get, Yudhishthira Maharaj sincerely wants some satisfaction, and Krishna is giving him no less an authority than Krishna. And he's saying, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. So the Acharyas explain, it is because Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, is giving Upadesh, and Bhagavan as Paramatma is blocking his senses. So there is no registration. There is one way in which somebody has a tap, there is water coming down, and there is a pot below that, and not a single drop goes in the pot. Why? In Marathi there is a saying, Upadya ghadyavar pani. Inverted pot, a pot which is inverted, ulta, and then you put water over it, and after 1 hour you see, isme to kuch bhi nahi hai, there is no single drop here. So, normally it is used for hardcore nuts who cannot take any good instruction. But here it is not that case. Here Yudhishthira Maharaj is part of that plan. Today we will see what that plan was. Bhishma Dev, Devavrata, that's his name. He took that vow that, all right, I assure you, he's telling that one fisherman king or leading fisherman or whatever, I assure you, you give your daughter in marriage to my father. I assure you, their son, their progeny will be the king. Now somebody should be satisfied with that. But this fisherman said, all right, wait a minute. You are telling me now you are giving me this promise. Tomorrow you will marry. Your wife, you are the senior most. You are the Yuvaraj. So your wife will say, hey, how come this fisherman's son is going to be the king? He says, what's your problem? He says, you can't guarantee your wife will not say like that. All right, I won't marry at all. And putting his arms, he bellowed a big promise. I, Devavrat, hereby take this vow. The progeny of your daughter and my father will be the king. I will not marry until I have my breath. I will serve the throne of Hastinapur. Now for a Kshatriya to take that kind of a vow is a great, great achievement. It's a terrible vow. So the demigod showered flowers on him. Bhishma, Bhishma. They were glorifying him. Who was Bhishma Dev actually? He was a Vasu. The Vasus are a category of highly evolved, very superior to us humans. All our life we look at the world and we think that humans are just like you and me. I remember there was an interview with Bill Gates many years ago. So this reporter, who somehow she was like a lucky reporter, got a chance to go and meet Bill Gates in his office. And long before he had retired, he was very active. And but just how today's reporting is, so she asked him, you know, some questions about his ambition, how much money he got, whatever, whatever. And he answered, and then she printed, and she was asked later, off the record, how is Bill as a person? She said, he has bad breath. My goodness. Of all the things you come, okay, from her point of view, it was like a fly mentality, isn't it? A fly always looks for sores. for festering wounds, pus-filled wounds. But from another angle, although he's Bill Gates, he may have how much, 170 billion or whatever, but he still has two arms, two legs, a little bit of superior intelligence. But he may have the same kind of body. So when we read Vedic literature, and we have Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, they are also humans, in one sense, Nara category. But they are much superior. There are planets of demigods where they eat some of the most glorious sattvic kind of foodstuff. Some take only liquids and be surprised. Some don't sweat. Some don't pass stool. Some don't pass urine. You may say, Bap re, the problem ho jayega. Nay, their body is like that. Their bodies are like that. But we become conditioned to see the surroundings like we have, and then we try to speculate. Prabhupada tells a Bengali story of a man with a big beard, and somebody introduced him to Katahar, jackfruit, panas. It comes in a season, and you have to be very careful. You have to put oil all over your hands if you want to cut it up. Otherwise, it's very itchy. So he brought that jackfruit, cut it, but he didn't put proper oil, didn't take proper precautions. So as he finished and as he ate, all his beard was having jackfruit all over. It was very embarrassing. And after 2-3 hours, he became very sticky and itchy. So he shaved himself. What to do? And he was having a British boss who also was having a mustache and a beard. Just out of whim and fancy, he also shaved himself. So this man, his friend, saw his boss and he asked him, Panas laga tha, daddy ko. He also had the same problem with jackfruit. He was confused. What jackfruit? So Prabhupada gives the example that this fellow had to shave because of his embarrassment. The boss didn't shave because he was embarrassed. But you jump to a conclusion. Oh, he had a beard and he shaved. He had a beard and he also shaved. It must be the same reason. No. What Prabhupada wanted to say was, the world is arranged in so many different categories. Various categories, various ways of sense gratification. Although material, and although kind of a prison sentence. But as you go higher, it doesn't look like a prison at all. As you go lower, it doesn't look like a prison at all. Be careful. It's only here, the middle place where we are, that is more problematic. There is too much of sense gratification, no self-realization. Below, there is pain, too much of pain, so therefore no sense self-realization. But the Bhumandala where we are all, this is just like, just enough pain to make you aware, just enough pleasure to take your mind away. So you have to be careful. So we are discussing Vasu. So there were 8 Vasus and they were cursed to come down to this material world. And seems like they were given a time plan that you choose when you want to go. At that time, Ganga Devi was cursed to spend some time in this material world, spend time on this Bhumandala. So they approached her and said, Devi, apka bhi kaam hoga, hamara bhi hoga. Would you accept us as your sons? And she said, for what purpose? well, we are cursed that we have to take one birth. One material birth through the womb of a mother. Another point. Here, is there any woman who can give birth in 20 seconds? No. There is a gestation period. 9 months. Navamas, Navadin. That's how we were hearing from our Puranic stories. So that is a condition given to the women here. But in the upper planetary systems, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, someone gave, the child was able to talk while the child was in the mother's womb. Here it will be a sensation, isn't it? The child comes out and says to the nurse, "Hey, don't hit me." Or he hits back. "Why you want to slap me?" So it doesn't happen like that. Here the baby comes out and for days and days doesn't even open eyes. Is it not? The kind of time humans take to just become normal is abnormal. Months and months and months and baby. Look at the animal kingdom here. They don't have much time. So again, this is a superiority of the planetary system there. So Ganga Devi agreed. And as per the plan, Ganga Devi was just taking a stroll on the bank of Ganga herself. She's the river and she's a personality also. And Shantanu saw her. And Shantanu said, "Something stirring in my heart." Because Shantanu also was another king cursed to come down, Mahabhish. And he said, "Lady, become my queen. I am the king here." And she kind of agreed. Those who read the Mahabharata for the first time without any guidance, they feel like, "Hey, very nice. You see the most beautiful woman. You just ask her, be my queen." And she's also eager. "Yes, what do I do for you?" And there's a garland ready-made somewhere and they exchange garlands or whatever. She said one condition. Now King Shantanu, although he's the king and you can understand he's not an ordinary person, but he said, "Whatever you say." He said, no, don't think first of all. He said, "No, whatever you say, I agree. Upon the birth of our progeny, whatever I do, you should not stop me." So he said, what she may do. Yeah, what is the limit what she may do? She may not agree to take care of the kid, not agree to, you know, clean him or whatever. "I'm a king, I have enough resources." So yes, agreed. So after some months, the first child was born. And he was so happy. You know, I don't know whether actually in the dialogue they do like that, "Maharaj ki jai ho, aapko putra apna prapta ho gaya hai." And immediately Maharaj is having 16, 17 pearl necklaces and immediately he gives one. There has to be some system, but we are conditioned by our own culture here. But Maharaj went running to the palace and there is Ganga Devi smiling, keeping her newly born son. And he's like, "Should I ask her? Let me hold him or what do I say? Yes, no, yes, no." She started walking out of the palace. And the king said, "Strange." Then he remembered, "Don't stop me from whatever I am doing." He followed her. She went in the stream of the Ganga and left that child there. "This is for your welfare." That's what she said. King Shantanu was full of disappointment, anger, but couldn't say anything. He said, "Maybe some quirk, maybe some strange madness or whatever." But she did that with the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh child. And then he heard the eighth child was born. And he said, "Enough is enough. Now I'm not going to tolerate." And the same thing. She comes back. The child is like celestial looking. very, very handsome features. She goes to the Ganga. And he now knows the dialogue. This is for your welfare. And he says, stop! Stop, you cruel lady! Stop there at once! Why are you murdering my children? She looked at him very sweetly and said, you have violated our condition. He said, yes, I have violated. So what? And then she explained that these are the Vasus. There was a curse. I did for their benefit. Because they didn't want to stay in this planet for long. They said, as soon as we are born, just throw us. And through the Ganga's Milky Way, we will again go back and be instead in our original position. And that's why I was saying, for your welfare. Now King Shantanu is saying, Are, mar gaya. What did I do? He said, please leave him at least. He said, yes. This eighth one was a little bit of a, unka offense thoda 4 degree upar ka tha. His offense was a little bit serious. So he is supposed to stay here for long. I can assure you of that. He says, oh good. Oh king, my time to leave also has come. He said, really? He said, yes. Because you stopped me from what I am doing. That, and she told who she is. I am the Ganga river. Let me take this son. And he was thinking, now you are taking him also. With whom would I live? I will train him in divine weapons. And at an appropriate age, I will again bring him back. Shantanu accepted it that this is the fate written. He said, all right. So then he waited. And at the appropriate time, this young boy, looking fabulously handsome, powerful, he comes back and stays with Shantanu. Father, mother has said that now I should serve you. And he said, oh, thank you so much. And just like a menial servant, a loyal menial servant, Devavrat started serving Shantanu. Things were very nice. Till one day, by the arrangement of this cosmic plan, Shantanu sees this young fisherman's daughter. She was Yojana Gandha. Up to a yojan, few miles, the stench of fish would be pervading. But because of coming in touch with Parashar Muni, she becomes Padma Gandha. And Shantanu is attracted. But he says, what do? I am old. Actually, I should be looking a wife for my son. But no, I should marry her. No, my son should marry. No, yes, no, yes. And the day he came back, Devavrat, very keen, sutikshna buddhi, that's how it is described. He said, Father, is everything all right? Yes. Then he asked the minister, said, I also don't know. But there could be something. We went to that place, there was a girl there, there was some kind of a discussion or whatever, and from that day onwards, I can also see that your father is always lost in thoughts. So, take me to that place. So Devavrat goes there. As I said earlier, the fisherman starts putting these conditions, and Devavrat looks at his ancestors, looks at the celestial denizens, and says, I will not marry, I will not hesitate to put her son on the throne, and I will ever be loyal to that throne. How many years did Bhishma Dev serve? According to one estimation, 456 years. The Upper Yuga time. So today you can say 45 years. There is a zero added. So if somebody is serving 45 years, you say, wow, 45 years of service. So 456 years of serving the throne of Hastinapur. So many ups, so many downs. He has to see Dhritarashtra scheming. Well, Dhritarashtra not scheming, but Duryodhana scheming and Dhritarashtra just saying yes. I was reading the Vidura Niti that day, and in Vidura Niti, 7-8 chapters, after that, the last chapter, please close that door. Close that door. Garland team are making too much of a noise. Last Sunday also it happened. We are closing the doors here. Those who want to hear can come inside. Close that door. Yeah, door open karo. Close both the doors. Those who want to hear can sit inside. So, as we were discussing, Shantanu is not an ordinary person. Seeing Bhishma Dev's, after it was called Bhishma then, seeing Devavrata's, wow, he said, my dear son, I am so happy. I give you the boon of Ichha Marana, Ichha Mrityu. Imagine the kind of, how powerful his father was. You will die only when you want to die. Otherwise, nothing else can kill you. And throughout the Mahabharata, we see how at one point of time, Bhishma Dev had to fight with his own guru, Parshuram. He learned celestial weaponry from him. After 28 days of fighting, even Parshuram could not defeat him. So the initial days, when little bit rewinding our story, so Satyavati, Yojanganda, Padmaganda gets married to Shantanu, and they have Vichitravirya, Chitrangad, and now there is the need for, and Pandu, and there is the need for a princess to get married to these sons. Where do you get them from? So Bhishma Dev himself went to a Swayamvar. And there were three sisters. Amba, Ambika, Ambalika. And he got all three of them. They were very illustrious. Very good lineage. Very good family. And they thought that this Bhishma Dev, he wants to marry himself. He took a vow. I will never marry. So why is he fighting for princesses? But the other Rajkumar, they were no match for Bhishma Dev at all. He just kind of, you know, as they say in Hindi, Kachumar bana diya. He made raw salad of them. And now these princesses came and they thought, you want to marry us? He said, no. Then why did you win us? It's for eligible Yuvraj here. Now Amba, eldest sister, Ambika, the Sanskrit name means little Amba. And Ambalika means little Amba. Like we have Chotu, in a sense. Don't we have all over India? Somebody is called Chotu. Even in South India, there is something like that. Tambi is like a brother. Like that. Something. So, Chota Bada, Chota Haridas, Bada Haridas. See, all over India, that thing of calling people, that kind of nomenclature is there. So, Amba, little Amba, little Amba. And then Amba tells him that, okay, now things are clear. You got us. But I already given my heart to another prince. He said, oh, really? Then go. I'm not here to force you for anything. So makes a nice vehicle, chariot for her. She goes to that prince. And he says that, you think that after touched by Bhishma, I will again go for you? Go back to him. I don't care. He said, hey, don't talk like that. He said, no, I don't want it. I don't go ahead with this relationship at all. Now this is Dwapar Yuga. Sentiments were more finer than what we see here. So she comes back and says, he's not accepting me. Bhishma says, what do I do then if he's not accepting? What I did was not wrong from the Kshatriya point of view, was it? No. Going to a Swayamvar, like normally they have some question, some, not a puzzle, but some kind of competition, like how for Draupadi there was a competition. Draupadi's competition was such an impossible thing that Panchal Naresh, Draupadi himself was sometimes having thoughts. Bahut difficult to nahi kiya na humne. But nobody is, some people saw Draupadi, okay, I'm coming. They saw Draupadi and said, wow, I have to do it. And then they saw the condition. Not us. Some could not even take the bow and tie it properly. Someone tried to, a bow means that wood has to be bent and then you tie it. For some that thing slipped, they got hit on their head. And they said, Draupadi and this Dhrishtadyumna, you invite us for getting insulted like that? After so many warriors came, archers came, and then nothing happened. The father and son were thinking in terms of like, I don't think this is going to happen. There is nobody here. So sometimes the competition will be very serious. In Bhishma Dev saying, he said, I don't have time. He didn't look time like that, but he just said, I don't have time. He said, I am taking all three away. Anyone would like to challenge anybody? So initially, not many were there. And suddenly somebody said, all three? And people started challenging. And it's cat. Some were preparing with armor and they saw how these people were dispatched. They said, we will wait for another plan, another kingdom somewhere. So Amba now is saying that, I am your case now. You handle me. He said, nah, I have made a vow I will never marry. She said, but then don't you see the ridiculousness of this? He has not accepted me and you got me and now you are saying you don't want me. He said, but that's my vow. She said, what do I have to do with that vow? And that Amba's case became later so acute. She became Shikhandi later. And she said, you destroyed my life, I am going to destroy yours. So those who are careful readers of the Mahabharata, and I expect at least people in this hall are, you have to understand that Ramayana Mahabharata always has a meaning which jumps at you right from the pages. First level. First level meaning is something which jumps at you immediately. Careful reading will give you an understanding as to why this has taken place. And a third and a deeper level will make you understand, hey, there is a backstory to that. There is a reason why Krishna had allowed this to happen. Three levels all the time. First is you see something and, oh, Bhishma Dev ruined a girl, you know, she achha khasa settle hoti thi kahin pe. No, it's not like that. Bhishma Dev is not our enemy. In one sense, it was meant to be like that. It's a whole big drama on the cosmic scale. Then Ambika and Ambalika, they didn't leave. But then Ambika closed her eyes. Because she closed her eyes. And there was a Niyog system. I will not discuss that here. It will take too much of a time. That Vyasdev was called for procreating progeny. And it is not sex, by the way. Devarena Sutotpattim Kalau Pancha Vivarjayet. Because people cannot understand these things, it is expressly forbidden for Kali Yuga. So, because Ambika closed her eyes, Dhritarashtra was born blind, then Ambalika got pale seeing the form of Vyasadeva. And he was summoned by his mother. It's like, Abbi, Abbi, jaldi aao. He was doing his austerities. And the Mahabharata, again, it has had some purpose. Remember our three layers. His body was caked with mud. Hair fully disheveled. And if you are told, if you are a girl especially, if you are told to sit with him and let him impregnate you. So the first one closed her eyes, second one became pale. So because she was pale, the son also was born very pale. Pandu, which means pale in color. And he was not destined to live for long. And Satyavati said to Vyasadeva, one more time. He said, I think we are playing with destiny. He says, please. And this time she didn't go herself. She sent a dasi. And the dasi was fabulous. She was not afraid. She didn't close her eyes. She accepted whatever the process was. And a very fit, brilliantly luminous with intelligence son was born, Vidura. But the fact is that he's a Dasiputra. He cannot be sitting on the throne. Now, who that Vidura is, the backstory is his Yamaraj. Who was cursed for a small period of time because he didn't read the penal code properly, and one rishi was given some punishment, and the rishi came and said, hey, one minute, RTI. Right to information. How dare do you sentence me to... He said, well, there is a problem there. You did something as a child. He says, child? I did something as a child and I'm getting punished now? Have you lost your mind, man? And he said, he can't say to his servants that, you know, it's your mistake. He can't say, I'm my mistake. He can't say that, Rishi, your mistake. The Rishi pat comes with a curse saying, you be born as a low born. Now, Yamaraj is a Mahajan. We take some time. Like I've seen in my life, something happens. I fret and fume and cry and hem and haw, and afterwards I say, Krishna's arrangement. That's the difference. These Mahajanas, like Prabhupada, when he heard that his treasury was stolen by his servants, Krishna's arrangement. So Krishna is just like round the corner in the minds of great devotees. But for me, I feel I go round and round and round and there is no plausible explanation. All right, Krishna arrangement, kya karne ka abhi? So Yamaraj got this punishment, born as a low-born Dasi Putra. How did he use that? Holiday. A full-paid holiday. He went to so many tirthas and kundas and ashrams and hills and valleys, and he just had the time of his life. All those things which he had read in Bhagavatam. They say Yamaraj has a Bhagavatam. Bhagavat stories, like what we have, the only difference is it has 1 billion verses. Oh, let's see. You may say, 18,000 padhne ko time nahi milta. So, 1 billion kaun padhega? Aapke liye hai nahi wo. It's not meant for you. But the Bhagavatam is not limited. Bhagavatam can be contrary to 4 verses. You know that? Brahmaji only heard 4, he understood everything. Yamaraj has 1 billion, he relishes that. Some beach mein, we are somehow trying to fall in love with Bhagavatam. It's a lifelong thing, no worries. So, now Vidura also, as Yamaraj, it is said that his hair was always wet. You may say, what do you mean wet? It means he would go to one kunda, take his bath, and before even his hair would dry, there would be another kunda somewhere. Udhar ek bath. There are people who say that ye temple wimples sab baad mein aa gaya hai. India didn't have temples. Prabhupada said, look, Vidura is described as going to so many Vishnu Linga. It's like we have Shiva Linga, the Shiva temple. So this also is a Vishnu Linga. There is Linga in the sense of Archa Vigraha. So Prabhupada writes there, at least for 5,000 years there were temples. So, the sons are born. Bhishma Dev's task begins. It's almost like, because he has taken the vow, right from day one, he's just thinking, training, training, training. I need someone to train this. Afterwards, then the children are born. Pandu goes to the forest. I'm just doing a little bit of fast forwarding. Pandu dies because of another curse. Kunti comes with 5 children, all born because of the influence of great demigods. We have Yamaraj, his Amsha is Yudhishthir. Indra as Arjun. Vayu Swayam as Bhima. And the celestial physicians, Ashwini Kumars, as Nakul and Sahadev. But Kunti is a widow. She says, what do? I have to live for them. Bhishmadi says that, come, I will give you shelter here. So only looking at Vidura and Bhishma, Kunti agrees to come there. Dhritarashtra has his 100 sons. The first one is called Suyodhan. Say, really? That's his real name, Suyodhan, or given name. But then he started showing so many other qualities that he became known as Duryodhan. Yeah. You see, sometimes in the, I don't need you to use that, but in the mafia world or in the underworld, these people have funny names. And their names are like, they want to strike terror in general public's minds. Isn't that? One criminal, he chewed the finger of a policeman and ran away. He bit him actually. So he became famous as Salim Kutta. I'm not making it up. Mumbai has a very checkered history of underworld and the police fighting each other. So why would somebody agree to be called like that? Oh, in their domain, that was a glorification. Oh, how nicely he, ran away from the police. So there is one person, at least in India, I know of. I'm not so much of a mythology researcher. But he said, hey, this whole history of the Mahabharata is written from the Pandavas' point of view. So I'm going to write something from Duryodhana's point of view. It's fine, you can write, no issues. So in that Mahabharata, Pandavas are the villains. Okay, why are they so dharmic? And why are they so punyavan? And why are they saying like that? Why are they always doing puja? Basically, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, I think 1.27-28, before Arjuna is telling about his problems, Arjuna is saying, why should I contend with these opposite forces in this battle? And Prabhupada gives a very nice handy rule. Birds of a feather flock together. So today, 5,000 years afterwards, if you feel that somebody is saying, hey, Duryodhan bahut achha tha, guess what? Where is he coming from? Oh, lineage wo hai wo. Maybe this fellow had fought in that war or something, or abhi tak mukti nahi mili. So they keep on reincarnating. There is a Ravan Samhita. I was surprised. You've seen a book like that? It's there. So a Ramayana from Ravana's point of view, where Ram is the villain. So obviously they are written by people who were having Lanka passports. Lanka to gaya hai, passport baki hai abhi tak. So they will be remembering those times with so much of fondness. Arey, Ravan gaya, salary bhi gaya. There is a rule among the anti-party, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. That's also a philosophy. Many people practice that. So, five sons of Pandu and 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, and there were these serious palace conspiracies. I mean, oh, in the Mahabharata, if you find Shadayantra, that's what the Sanskrit calls it. But Bhishma Dev is one who is always thinking in terms of how do I train, how do I train them up. These are the future rulers. I will be not doing my duty. He was not concerned that my time is up. His time is never up. Whenever he wants, he would die. But that time, the boys were playing. They were playing with some kind of a ball. The ball fell into a river, ball into a well, empty well, blind well, as they say. And the boys were looking, and then a brahmana came. And he said, ha ha, Kshatriya princes like yourselves, and can't you even take a simple ball from the well? So they said, well, if you are so talented, why don't you do that? He said, oh, really? He just plucked a blade of grass, trina, this long, chanted some mantra, shh, just threw it. It went and stuck to that ball. They were saying, wow, what is he doing? Another trina stuck to that trina. Another one stuck to the third one. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, like 50, 60, 100. And he just pulled out at last one. Shh, here is your ball. They were like, wow, we have never seen anything like this. So they go, Pitama, Pitama, did you see what happened today? See what happened? They related the incident. I said, ah, I think I found the teacher. So thus Drona was instructed to act as a teacher for the entire Kaurava princess clan. At one point of time, the Pandavas were not called Pandavas at all. They all come from the Kuru clan, so they were all Kauravas. But slowly and slowly the division was made clear. And it, please tell them to stop. So, the training was given as any royal clan would be given that kind of a training. Again, it was Bhishma Dev's responsibility. The lowest point in Bhishma Dev's life came when Draupadi was insulted. Very soon, this is the first verse where we are just told that Bhishma Dev is just lying there. Devavrata apatat. Bhishma Dev is lying there. So when Draupadi was insulted, that was something which he could not stomach. And every time Vidura was so outspoken, the moment Duryodhana was born, Vidura had the courage to tell Dhritarashtra, cast him away, throw him to the woods. He said, what do you mean? He's my son. He said, no, he's not your son. He's Kali personified. He has come as a, like there's a big tree and there's a small flame in the hollow of the tree. This personality will give rise to such misunderstanding and such ambitions, it will burn the entire tree of the Kaurava dynasty. It will be burned to ashes. You will be responsible. He said, no, I don't think I'll be responsible. He said, yes, you will be. So the Mahabharata portrays Dhritarashtra as someone who is simply having the ambition getting fulfilled through his own son. Oh yeah, I was talking about Vidura Niti. So in Vidura Niti, it is described that 8 chapters, I think. The first chapter, Sanjaya comes and tells Dhritarashtra that the war is going to happen and the war is going to be like this and all your 100 sons will be killed. That's what I see. Hare Krishna. And he leaves. And Dhritarashtra calls his minister, some servant and said, call Vidura. That time Vidura was staying in the palace. So Vidura comes and says, "Yes, Maharaj, what do I do?" He says, "Hey, you kya bolao? This servant, this student of Vyasdev came and bahut bhala bura bola. He really, he gave a very, painted a very bleak picture of everything." Vidura, you know how much I love you, how much I respect you. So please tell me, give me some wise words. And Vidurniti begins. Basically, Vidurniti is, kahin pe nigahe, kahin pe nishana. Nigah is on Dhritarashtra, but nishana is you and me. Please bear well in your mind. The nishana is your heart, my heart, our mind. He talks in terms of how to understand. My goodness. If Vidura would start an academy, he would put all these psychotherapists out of business. He gives so much of an insight, so much of an insight. Six types of this, four types of that, three types of this. It's chock full of this kind of wisdom. And I was thinking, wow, at the end of the discourse, Dhritarashtra would say, "Ha, nashto moha, smriti labdha, I'm so happy." Dhritarashtra says, "Vidura, you say all these things, I agree when I'm in front of you, but when Duryodhana comes, I forget everything." Really? He says, when he comes, I just can't say no to him. I just can't say no. Still, Vidura gave that much of knowledge. As they have recorded it in Mahabharata, just see. So this gives us an understanding that, like in India, sometimes people say, "Jo hona hai, wo hoke hi rahega." So what do? So you don't do anything? There is a conversation between Prabhupada and some guests in Mauritius, and there Prabhupada is talking about some topic. A young man says, "Question, question, question." So he asks a question. And there's an old man who also is saying, "Question, question." But Prabhupada takes the young man's question. And he answers that. And meanwhile, the old man is just putting his hand, and finally one servant said, "Prabhupada, he wants to say something." Prabhupada said, "Yes." He said, "You took that old young man's question, now took an old man's question also." Prabhupada says, "He is neither young nor are you old. Our discussion is how we are not these bodies." So, practically Prabhupada gives him an immediate retort that you are not like that. So, he says, "What is your question?" "My question is, what if somebody has education, but it is so ridiculous an education that," Prabhupada said, "What do you mean?" "No, no, no. What I am going to say is, what do you mean by when you say ridiculous education?" He said, "No, my question is," after 3-4 times goes back and forth, he says, "Swamiji, be patient. Please hear me out." I was saying, hey, Prabhupada is like always a good listener. But here Prabhupada is saying, your question itself is wrong. How can somebody be having education and still he be ridiculous? And he was saying, "Hey, galti kya hai, word use karke, why you did that?" He said, "Okay, my question is this. The Gita was spoken to Arjun?" He said, "Yes." "Arjuna understood the whole thing?" "Yes." "But after his son died, after Abhimanyu died, why Arjuna again lamented?" And I was just seeing on my computer screen, I was saying, what kind of answer Prabhupada would give? It was in the next page down. And Prabhupada makes it very simple. Guess what Prabhupada says? He says, Arjuna heard the Gita and then he agreed to do what Krishna said. That means he's a first class student of Bhagavad Gita. Nashto moha smtir labdha tat prasadat mayachuta sitosmi gati gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Whatever you say, I follow. And Prabhupada said, that's all that is required. That you say yes to Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants you in life, yes Krishna. He said, no. But after his son died, Prabhupada said, that is normal. Just because you think we are devotees, we are become stone-hearted? So I got this insight, I mean, I hope to use it in my life also, that being in bhakti doesn't mean we become heartless. My parents died. Look at me. I was just like a stone. No! My wife died, my husband died, my friends died. We will be normal if we express emotions. But what is the clinching factor? Event, emotions, and then the resolve. So event has occurred, the emotions have come. If your service is hampered, if you say now no more Krishna consciousness, no more service, that's a problem. So some of us will show more emotions, some of us will show less emotions. Those who are introverted, they could be putting their emotions inside. But please don't feel that after coming to bhakti, after coming to Krishna consciousness, whatever happens in my material life, I'm not the body anyway. No. You will be affected to the extent of the Atma Buddhi. But Prabhupada said, but after his son died, did he give up the battle? No. That means he's a true student of the Bhagavad Gita. So to round it up, Bhishma Dev at this stage, now again he didn't say anything, but Krishna intelligently understands. All the while, Bhishma Dev's heart was filled with a desire, when will I see the Pandavas as the ruling princess of Hastinapur? That occasion never came. They were trained up, Varnamata fire, so many long years of absence. They got Draupadi, then they came back, then the gambling match. Do you know why Yudhishthira, there are idiots really, I should not be calling them like that, but they say Yudhishthira had one flaw, that he was addicted to gambling. Addicted? It's like one instance and immediately people today say that, oh, because he was addicted. That was one of his weakness. No. He took a vow when Vyasdev told Satyavati at a particular time, Mother, your time is up. Don't stay here in this palace and get embroiled in all this palace conspiracy and everything. One has to, when you have a role to play, play your role to the fullest. And when the director says, just like in a Western music concert, there is a violin, there are four pianos, there is a gong, there is a percussion, and there are so many. When the conductor says, that means you all should stop. If you say, but I like it. No. Read the music. In Hindustani classical, there's nothing like read the music. They already do riyas hours and hours and hours. But if you go to a Western concert, you will find, there's somebody always changing pages. You see that? Because they are reading the music. Nobody knows the whole thing except the conductor. Because everybody is given only, the violin wala knows only his particular lines. And when the conductor has to know everything, so the conductor says, okay, hi, then slow and stop. So that is how in the Mahabharata you find characters upon characters are being told, your role is up now. Come back. So Satyavati is told that, come. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj is told that, Maharaj, bad times. So that was the time Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he's Dharmaraj, he takes a vow. He says, I will try to prevent this war. I'll try to prevent these miseries coming. Vyasadeva was like, well, you may try. I take a vow. Whenever somebody serves the elderly, touches their feet, takes their blessings, no misfortune falls on them. Isn't it true? So Vyasadeva saying, oh, yes, it is mentioned. I take a vow. I will never ever disobey the elderly here. Now, this Dwapar Yuga war is at the cusp of Kali Yuga coming. It is like evening time. It's not fully Madhyaratra, not full midnight, but evening time. So Duryodhan, as the agent of Kali in the Mahabharata, he says, this fellow has taken a vow that he will never disobey elders. So the gambling match invitation was given by Dhritarashtra. Just see how Kali works. He will never say no to a request by an elderly person. So he invites him. The whole drama takes place. They lose everything. They go back. Duryodhan goes to Dhritarashtra's palace and says, very nice. Me and my mama, we did so much of mehnat for this. I didn't call his father idiot, but that's what he meant. And you gave it away? Faced with Duryodhan and his words, Dhritarashtra always is, he cannot use his intelligence. So what am I supposed to do? Call them again. Just call them again? Would you go to a place where you were insulted like that before? He says, no. I know for sure Yudhishthira will come. He says, maybe he won't come. He will come. The invitation has to be from you. The invitation comes. The Pandavas are telling their brother, like, come on, man. Why do we go again? He says, we have to. They go again. 12 years of forest exile. 1 year incognito. If discovered, 12 more years. Can you imagine Bhishma Dev seeing all this happening? I mean, in 5,000 years after that, our hearts get pierced. How much of a suffering he must be having? How much was he hankering to see them? And Krishna knows all of that because he is Krishna. So, to round up our whole story, Krishna outside, Swayam Bhagwan, giving Yudhishthira Maharaj so many assurances. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Not your fault, not your fault. Krishna, as the Chaitya Guru inside, is saying, no. No listening to this. Why? So that this episode will begin. Krishna makes a request to Yudhishthira Maharaj. We need to go and see Bhishma Dev. He's lying there on the battlefield there. Oh yes. Now, you should go as proper princess. He has seen you as wandering mendicants, as bhikshuk, as vanavasis. Let him see now as the princess which you actually deserve to be. So slowly we will see chariot after chariot with all the 5 Pandavas in full regalia, the finest of ornaments, armor, helmet, horses, elephants, chariots, processions, music, band, everything. Krishna wants to give Bhishma Dev this one last gift. To see the Pandavas in their full finery. Madhurena samapaye. It has to end on a sweet note. So that is the time when Bhishma Dev is saying, I am not going to speak much. I am just wanting to talk with Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, again, Gaurakrishna Maharaj says that Krishna is telling Yudhishthira, chao chao pucho. Ask him everything you want to ask. Whether it was your fault. Whether these people were killed in vain. Whether you will go to hell. What are you supposed to do? And basically, the Upadesh of Bhishma Dev to Yudhishthira Maharaj on the battlefield is one of the longest in the entire Mahabharata. My God. There are other acharyas who said that, why should somebody lie on a bed of arrows? They are warriors. They are not you and me. Thoda sa sui chup gaya to, ow, no problem. They like those bed of warriors. One interpretation is that so much of blood came out. And Bhishma Dev was asked that, don't you feel weak? He said, no. The grains of Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra that I ate and the blood that was generated from those sinful grains is now oozing out of my body. Ah, good riddance to bad rubbish. In our college, they used to say GR to BR. Good riddance. So now, the only arrows, in fact, one description is that between two arrows, you could not put another third arrow. That many arrows had pierced his body. And then he said, I'm thirsty. Now if Devarat is thirsty, who has to provide water? Ganga Devi. So somebody said, hey, pani lao, pani lao. He said, eh. Let Arjuna decide. So Arjuna just shoots an arrow. And Mother Ganga herself comes there. One of the last meetings of mother and son. She slakes his thirst. And then they all come back. And now they're all going back to fulfill that last heart's desire. So just see how Krishna is. When there was nobody to help Arjuna, Krishna himself spoke the Bhagavad Gita. But when there is a devotee involved, and when there is a devotee's desire to do something, Krishna is an expert in taking a back seat. Not me. Let all of you sit with Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev be very happy while he's leaving. And this is all we'll see in the coming shlokas here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare.